And good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Devin Burstein on behalf of Ms. Velasquez. Your Honors, there is no, and there should be no, Fourth Amendment free zone at this country's borders. The border search exception, therefore, should be interpreted and should be understood, limited, and tailored by its historical purpose, and that is to prevent people and contraband from illegally entering the country. Here, the Cellebrite phone search did not fall within that purpose.
Before we even get into that,
yes,
let me just ask you, shouldn't the evidence here be admitted under the independent source doctrine?
No, Your Honor.
Tell me why not.
So it's important to understand when we're going to talk about the independent source doctrine, what actually, we begin with what happened below. So the government, if we look at ER page 147.
Let me ask you some questions and maybe we can get to right to it. Wasn't there a later probable cause when the government obtained, I think, the warrant to search all three phones?
There was a finding of probable cause. That's how they got the warrant.
Because she crossed with 14 pounds of drugs.
Correct.
Contraband. And then she had three cell phones, I guess, in her car.
Right, Your Honor.
And so there was a later search warrant, correct? So why,
yes, but.
Why wouldn't that satisfy prong one of the independent source doctrine?
Okay, because under Murray, the Supreme Court's decision, and then under this court's decision in Hill, and the quote is, where the district court essentially did not explicitly find that the agents would have sought a warrant if they had not earlier conducted the unlawful search, then the requisite course is to vacate the judgment and remand to the district court for a determination whether the warrant-authorized search was truly an independent source of the challenged evidence. In other words, we don't know because the record is unclear.
Well, I know. So, I mean, the district court never reached this, but wouldn't it reach? I mean, if it got sent back, wouldn't the district court reach this to determine that?
Yes, Your Honor. And I think that's exactly what Hill did. This court's decision in Hill, it would remand the case for a finding as to whether or not, because in...
And I'm just trying to figure out, under the facts that we know in the record, why wouldn't there be a probable cause determination?
It's not probable cause, Your Honor. That's the wrong analysis.
Well, what is the standard?
The standard in independent source is whether the agents would have sought the warrant, whether it's truly independent. In other words, if the agent, probable cause...
I mean, to get a warrant, though, you need probable cause.
But that's not, you don't survive under the independent source with just probable cause. Let me...
I understand, but there needs to be a finding that the officers, you know, would have sought that without having seen any presumably tainting...
Correct.
I understand that evidence from the initial search of the phone the day that Ms. Velasquez was arrested, correct?
Correct.
That determination wasn't made.
Correct.
But likely could be made.
That determination should be made at some time, and it's a simple process. We get the agent onto the stand, and we, the government, will begin with its direct, and the agent will presumably say, in all candor, either yes or no, I would or would not have sought the warrant. Mm-hmm. And then the defense lawyer will cross-examine, depending on what that answer is. If the agent candidly gets up and say, look, Your Honor, I think this was an open and shut case. She's the sole driver. It's her car. She's got drugs. I didn't need a warrant for the cell phone. We had everything we needed. I wouldn't have gotten a warrant.
Or the agent could have said, she's the sole driver. There's drugs. There's three cell phones. We would have gotten a warrant.
You're right.
Because they ended up getting a warrant.
They could have said that.
Yeah.
That we don't know.
Right.
And that's exactly the problem. Therein lies the problem. That's why the government can't rely on independent source, because this court has said...
Well, it could still.
Yes.
That's my agreed. Question. Okay.
100% agreed. So Hill, let me just quote from Hill, and I think it answers the question affirmatively, exactly what Your Honor is saying, or I don't have to. I think we're in agreement that if this court remands for a finding on independent source, we would have a brief hearing on independent source. And I think that's an entirely appropriate course here because it wasn't fleshed out below.
Let me ask you, if I can, about Riley.
Yes, Your Honor.
You press Riley quite a bit here, and I wanted to ask you, doesn't Riley explicitly leave open that cell phones may be searched in the context of other exceptions, including exigent circumstances?
Riley focuses, yes.
Yes, okay. So does it then by allusion then also leave open that cell phones can still be searched at the border subject to the border section?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're not asking this court, to be frank and clear and any more clear if I can, we're not asking this court to overrule its border search jurisprudence. In fact, we think Cotterman was prescient in many, many ways. What we're saying is that this is not a border search because it doesn't fit the border search purpose. Any exception to the Fourth Amendment must rise and fall on its purpose. An exception can't be divorced. An exception to a fundamental right can't be divorced from its purpose. This case, we press Riley not because we're claiming Riley overrules Cotterman. To the contrary, our argument is that this is not a border search under the border search doctrine, and therefore Riley applies.
But isn't the evidence which was got from the cell phone helpful in prosecuting the prevention of introduction of drugs?
Yes, well, but that is not...
That's not the purpose of border searches?
No.
The prevention of introduction of drugs is not a purpose?
No, the prevention of... Your Honor's last statement is 100% correct. The purpose is to prevent introduction of drugs.
And
that was done.
And this is circumstantial evidence to convict somebody who is bringing drugs into the country over the border.
The purpose is the customs-based purpose, Your Honor. It's to stop people and contraband from illegally entering. Once that has happened...
Once this person's put in jail, she'll be crossing the border more seldom, right?
Well, that's exactly... Your Honor, that point leads to actually in our favor because she was arrested and put in jail. This is a post-arrest, post-contraband seizure search. And more importantly, there's a third factor. The cell phone was sequestered. And we know based on the holding of Riley, once a cell phone is sequestered, there's no danger of the evidence being deleted. This is not that tough of a case. They could have just gotten a warrant. The answer, to paraphrase Riley, the answer to the question of what federal agents at the border must do after they arrest somebody and after they seize the contraband is simple. Get a warrant.
What does Camus say about that?
Camus is, okay, and I agree with my friend's point, that Camus addresses inevitable discovery. And so the government below relied on inevitable discovery. They have now changed courses to rely on independent source. Camus, I think we both agree, would scuttle their inevitable discovery argument.
In what way?
Well, it would hold that the later getting of the warrant would not justify the earlier unconstitutional search. And that's why they have tactically decided to abandon inevitable discovery. And I understand that. So Camus cuts in our favor on inevitable discovery. Doesn't speak specifically to independent source, although...
You mentioned Cotterman. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yes, Your Honor.
Do you think that the two categories established in Cotterman, the cursory search and the forensic search, still make sense as the categories to think about regarding cell phone searches post-Riley?
The one-word answer is no, but the but is I don't think it matters for this case. And the reason it's not implicated is we're not asking the court. We're just saying this isn't a Cotterman case. Let me just explain why. Just to quote, agents seized Cotterman's laptop at the U.S.-Mexico border in response to an alert based in part on a 15-year-old conviction for child molestation. The agents allowed the Cottermans to leave the border crossing at 6 p.m., but retained Cotterman's laptops and digital camera. That's a border search. They're searching for contraband, not a post-arrest search, not a search incident to arrest. He wasn't arrested.
The contraband was in the computer.
The contraband, and that's the same thing in Tsai. And that's the government relies heavily on Tsai. And they say it's a devastating blow. I say it's an encouraging pat on the back. And what happens in Tsai, just to quote again, the agent, Westlake, then informed Tsai that he was being detained for an administrative proceeding before an immigration judge. In other words, they searched him before arrest to put him into immigration proceedings to prevent him from entering the country. That is a border search.
So would reasonable suspicion for all types of cell phone searches, cursory and forensic, be enough?
No. We know that under Riley. If it's not a border search, it requires a warrant. So the clear answer is no. This case turns...
I guess, why isn't reasonable standard, though, reasonable suspicion the right standard given the competing interests of the privacy and the border?
Because the Supreme Court has said it's not. If this is a border...
In Riley, you're talking about in Riley.
In Riley.
Which wasn't a border search.
Right, but if you... I think I know where Your Honor is going.
So the question is, because you're saying look at Riley. Well, we can look at Riley and may have implications here, but we have competing interests of the border search and the privacy interests as reflected in the Riley decision.
It's a great question. So
trying to reconcile those.
Let's talk about, and here's the reconciliation. It's already been done. Cotterman would say, and I think my friend would concede, if this is a border search, reasonable suspicion was required. They basically say that in their brief and that it was met. So Cotterman reconciles that. I can't stress it enough. If this is a border search, under Cotterman, reasonable suspicion is required. We can argue about whether it was present. I'm not going to do that right now unless the court has specific questions. That's one part. And I think my friend will agree, if it's not a border search, if it's not within the purpose and scope, if this court finds it's not a proper border search, a warrant was required.
And a search incident to arrest, then a warrant was required?
If it's anything other than a border search, or an exigent search, if it's not a border search and not an exigent circumstances search, which it's not, a warrant was required, clearly under Riley. So the case turns really on whether, I mean, leaving to one side briefly that whether there was reasonable suspicion to search this ringtone folder, let's just leave that to the side. Other than that, this case turns on whether the court finds this to be a border search or not. If it does, Cotterman applies. If it doesn't, Riley applies.
And it's not a border search because there was no contraband in the phone.
They weren't searching for contraband. Objectively, they weren't. The contraband had been found, and she was arrested, and the phone had been sequestered. It's not just one, Your Honor. It's the three factors. They are the objective facts, not subjective. It's not a Wren. This is an objective test. Thank you, Your Honors. I see I'm over my time. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Mark Rahe for the United States. I believe my opponent's first sentence is that there should be no Fourth Amendment free zone at the border. We couldn't agree more, and that issue has already been decided. In Cotterman, this Court specifically said, or it was Seljohn, which was another en banc case, we do not see the border as an anything-goes zone. Instead, consistent with Cotterman, which was the en banc pronouncement of this court in 2013, the district court here justified this warrantless search of a cell phone because it found reasonable suspicion.
Well, hold on a second. I'm familiar with Cotterman. Does the rationale of the reason for the border search exception matter? Hasn't this court in Cotterman stated the border exception is a narrow exception that should be tailored to its rationale?
It does, Your Honor, and I would say that that rationale is still being promoted here. I think there's an underlying assumption.
Well, because it's not clear from your brief. It seems like you contend in your brief that the rationale doesn't matter in determining how to limit the bounds of the border search. And I think seems like that's different from what you're saying here today.
Well, I think I'm arguing both points in the alternative. My first point is coming from 1977, the United States Supreme Court in Ramsey, which said that searches at the border are reasonable simply by virtue of the fact that they occur at the border. That would appear to be encompassing this case. But then I'm saying, on the other hand, if you want to talk about the rationale, first of all, I'm not aware of any authority of this court that has ever read the exception so narrowly is that it's only limited to contraband.
But let's talk about the search in this case. Ms. Velasquez was arrested at around, looks like 6 a.m.
Correct.
She was detained and interviewed. The Cellbrite search of her cell phone was not conducted until some 6 hours later.
Correct.
And I guess how at that point, you know, six hours later, are the purposes of the border search exception of keeping out contraband and the unwanted person met? Didn't this search then become a search incident to arrest at that point?
Well, to start with the very last phrase, we are not standing on search incident to arrest. The search incident to arrest has to be temporally and spatially contemporaneous.
I know, so what are you standing on if it's not search incident to arrest?
The border search doctrine.
6 hours later.
While she's still at the border, correct, Your Honor.
Well, I mean, at that point, you're looking for corroborating evidence in the phone, mm-hmm. correct?
So, yes.
Okay, so that's for the investigation of her. That's not to stop any further. You're not going to find any drugs. Distinguishing from Cotterman, you're not going to find any drugs in the phone.
Correct.
So I guess if we're following, trying to reconcile Cotterman, at least we are, I think our panel has to consider Cotterman, and then also what the Supreme Court said in Riley, which emphasized the exception, you know, needs to be valid. And so I'm just trying to figure out here, you, I guess, are of the opinion that Riley doesn't matter at the border?
Well, it doesn't matter, but if we were to take my opponent's, I believe, suggestion, then the border wouldn't matter at all.
Is that right? I mean,
because he wants to treat this as just like a search incident to arrest, irrespective of the fact that the phone is still at the border, she's still detained at the border.
Well, I think, though, it seems like if she had seen her texting or something going on, certainly you'd be able to do it. But I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know that I'm certain here how this should be resolved, but there are some competing principles here of the border exception and what the court said in Riley. And, you know, it seems like in Riley, the Supreme Court clearly held that physical objects and cell phones are different. They seemed very concerned about the amount and type of data that we carry in our cell phones. It talks about cell phones representing the pinnacle of privacy interests. And then we have the border, which is the zenith of, you know, of protecting, you know, our borders. And so you have these two heightened interests that intersect in this case. And if Riley required at least a warrant in that case, shouldn't that in turn require a high level of suspicion for searching a phone at the border?
And I would submit yes, and Cotterman found as much. I think my opponent said Cotterman was almost prescient of Riley. When you read the two opinions side by side, they could have been written by the same person. Judge McHugh made a very detailed inquiry in Cotterman about every concern Your Honor just pointed out.
So you concede that, because it sounded in your briefing, that you were saying we don't need reasonable suspicion, we don't need probable cause, we have the border. It sounds like today you're saying, no, according to Cotterman, we need at least reasonable suspicion. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
I apologize if that was unclear. I mean, you know, you had said something a few minutes ago, too. I think it's important to keep in mind, at the time this phone is searched, yes, she's been arrested, and yes, some drugs have been found in her vehicle. There are still reasons to search a phone at the border in real time. Sometimes there's other drugs that the investigators haven't found yet in the vehicle. There may be messages about a cohort's coming through with more drugs later. So I just want to at least have the point that I think my opponent would have one believe.
So, and so the purpose, but you just had two, I just want to be mm-hmm. clear, and that for searching the phone 6 hours later was to find evidence that would corroborate the case against Ms. Velasquez.
In part, without a doubt, that's one objective, but it could also find more evidence of ongoing crime. And I would point out in Cotterman, that phone was searched 5 days later, 170 miles removed from the border, and the en banc court said that still is a border search.
But that you're looking for the contraband in the computer.
Right, and I'm saying here, of course you can't find drugs in a computer, but you could find evidence related to ongoing. I would say in United States versus Seljohn, this court cited a case from 19...
I understand the point that you're making, but in light of Riley, I'm just asking, and I'm not stating, I'm just asking, isn't there a heightened interest in privacy of cell phones even at the border.
Exactly, which is why Cotterman said for a forensic search you need reasonable suspicion. And in no time in the history of this country has any court, let alone this court, held that.
But in Riley, they said you needed a warrant.
Right, but Riley wasn't about the border. So there has to be.
So, okay, you know, I understand what your position is.
I think maybe some people might say, you know, if it's at the border, no suspicion, no nothing, who cares? That's not what we're saying. We're taking that intermediate compromise that Cotterman itself.
You're taking a position that the rationale for the border search is not only to keep out contraband itself and to keep out unauthorized persons, but to keep out drug dealers.
Exactly, or evidence related. In fact, there's a case from 1979, United States versus Grayson. It's relied upon in Celjon, which said they've read somebody's papers in the pocket of a man who crossed the border. And they said, and this is at page 1227, this is 597, Fed Second, a customs inspector read the papers to determine if they contained or related to contraband. So if, Judge Murgi, if you're looking for the purpose, that's this court, Grayson, approved by an en banc court, Celjon, which says that the purpose isn't just to find contraband in the object. It could be evidence related to contraband.
And Celjon dealt with the physical object, not with a cell phone, if I recall correctly.
It was mail.
And the Supreme Court just recently in Riley seems to have taken great pains to distinguish, you know, physical objects versus cell phones. So I'm just trying to see what that means for us here in this case as a result. And so I'm curious, because this has just raised a lot of questions. Can agents at the border require you to give them your passcode so that they can conduct a cursory search on your phone?
That I don't know, Your Honor. I know that's a different issue under the Fifth Amendment, and I'm not as, you know, aware of the details and intricacies of that.
So. You don't know, or what would you say the level of suspicion is needed to do this, if any?
To ask for a password or to do what happened in this case?
To ask for a password.
Again, I mean, I would say it shouldn't be any more than the reasonable suspicion that criminal activity is afoot. That is the standard.
But the question is, should it be at least reasonable suspicion?
I honestly don't know about the Fifth Amendment issue, Your Honor. I apologize for that.
And so how about a cursory search? Because that seems to be also at issue here, and whether or not the Cellbrite investigation that took place was more similar to an agent briefly looking through your phone or more of a forensic examination.
Well, the district judge assumed a forensic. And I know that from other cases the issue wasn't probed below, but some courts have said to the extent the logical extraction of a Cellbrite, I mean, in this case, the internet history apps were not broached, and it took half an hour, whereas the forensic examination in Cotterman took days, and the warranted search here also took more time. But I think that shows, again, to go to the overarching theme, we're not asking for anything goes. The district court assumed that this was a forensic examination, which is the more involved one. The district court therefore held, I want to see reasonable suspicion, and found it. That is not, and in Cotterman, I mean, everything that the Supreme Court, all the solicitude that the Supreme Court gave cell phones a year later in Riley is present in Cotterman, where the court said they're qualitatively different and quantitatively different. And my point would be, if the en banc court in Cotterman, after weighing these very weighty interests, the solicitude of the privacy I just said against the government's interest of the border, held that at most reasonable suspicion was required, it was found here. And at the very least, it was also an argument I want to make sure I preserve, there's good faith. I mean, these officers, they're acting, you know, Cotterman is an en banc pronouncement from this court. And this was at the border. This wasn't a search incident to arrest in the interior.
Okay. I just have one more question, if Judge Baio will allow me to ask this, because I did ask you. What's your position on the independent source doctrine, and what's your best argument, and does that apply here?
Well, we would submit that it applies. Our best fact is that, you know, from the warrant in this case, Agent Gaitan's warrant, zero information from the Cellbrite search at the border was included in that warrant. And as far as the motivation, this search, the search warrant came 2.5 months after the event in question. It came 1 week after the case was set for trial. In other words, after the government knew that this wouldn't be a guilty plea. This court is obviously aware of the volume of cases we have at the border. The fact that they don't search it right away, they want to see if somebody goes to trial. And not only that, the warrant wasn't just for this phone. It was for all the devices in her possession. Yes, the district court didn't squarely reach this below, but it's also a principle that this court can reach on any basis having support in the record. And here, where it's undisputed that the information from the Cellbrite the day of the border did not make it into the warrant affidavit, and also at trial, Agent Gaitan asked, before she testified about the contents of the recording, she was asked, did you search this device pursuant to a warrant? Yes, what did you find? I believe that gives enough information for this court to find on independent source, if it doesn't also find under good faith or under the application of the border search principles themselves.
Thank you. Thank you, Judge Baer.
All right. Thank you very much. This case will be submitted. And we thank both counsel for a very, very interesting and good presentation.